Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Aren't you grateful for the praise team today? Amen. Me too. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
For sure. Thank you, Lord. So today we are in Deuteronomy 29. We're considering partnership with the God who loves us. And like I said, we're in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Very good. You knew what was coming. Deuteronomy literally means second law. And it consists of three sermons, most of it consists of three sermons that Moses gave the Israelites right before they were to enter the promised land after the four decades of wandering they did in the desert. So this second law concept is Moses reminding the people and the reestablishing of the already existing covenant between them and God Almighty. So that's where we are today. So let's pray. God, thank you for a chance to be together. Whether we're together here in this room, whether we are together via live streaming, whether we're together in any context that we are throughout the week, thank you for the chance to be together. And we ask that your Spirit would be with us today, that your Spirit would calm our doubts, that it would calm our fears, that it would calm our concerns about whether we'd be welcomed by you or by other people. Please let us know that you came so we would be welcomed into the arms of God. We hope to live that out a little better today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, three pastors were on a non-productive fishing trip, didn't catch anything. And so to pass the time, they began to discuss various topics. One preacher said he thought it would be nice if they confessed their biggest sins to each other and then prayed for each other. This pastor would not be my friend. But he thought it would be a good idea to confess their biggest sin to each other and pray for each other. They all agreed, and the first preacher said that his biggest sin was that he liked to sit at the beach now and then and watch pretty women stroll by. The second preacher confessed that his biggest sin was that he went to the horse track every so often and he put down bets on horses all day long. Turning to the third preacher, they asked, "Brother, what's your biggest sin?" And with a big grin, the third preacher said, "My biggest sin is that I really like to gossip." You see what happens, if it's going to happen there with the other? Okay. Although you know that I believe Jesus died one death on one cross for all sin and that sins cannot be ranked, I do, however, believe that one of the biggest sins we can commit is to live like there is no ultimate power in the universe. That is to say, live like God doesn't exist. Christians, please understand today that we live in the presence of the mightiest King of the universe. No one compares to Jesus. He is unmatched. Just as the Jews knew that God's holy presence existed in the Holy of Holies in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant resided, we can know God's presence exists in and among us today. However, too often I believe that we live beneath our privileges. In this two-part partnership with God series, we're going to be talking about a relationship that we can have, which God wants with each of us. A relationship where consciously we agree to grow closer to God and he fills our lives in ways we could never imagine because we're in the mighty presence of the King. Here's something to consider. Have you ever been disappointed by somebody? Anybody ever been disappointed by somebody? Okay. Have you ever disappointed someone? Your parent let you down, a friend didn't come through, or maybe you didn't meet somebody's expectations. The pastor didn't do that thing you asked him to do 75 years ago. You know, I think one of the reasons we don't enter into partnership with God is because we're afraid that God will let us down like everyone else lets us down. But in reality, God never does let us down. He's ever faithful. God is omnipresent. That is, he's everywhere. He is omniscient. That is, he knows everything. He is omnipotent. That is, he's all powerful. He's all the omni words, and he wants to bestow on us everything he has. And our part of the bargain is to respond by giving all of ourselves, our intellect, our plans, our wallet, our knowledge, and the rest of our know-how to God so he can make something of us. As we look at the end of Deuteronomy, the nation of Israel has traveled for 40 years and they're on the edge of the promised land. They're almost there. And what God wants to do is renew the covenant. A covenant is a sacred agreement between two parties. Renew that covenant that he made with his people four decades earlier. We tend to forget things after 40 years, don't you? I do. Earlier in chapter 27, he has the Levites, that is assistants to the priests, read out loud a part of the covenant which included blessings and curses. Now he placed six tribes on one mountain, Gerizim, and six tribes on the other mountain, Abel. So I all want you to stand up for a minute. Go ahead, stand up. I know you don't usually stand up at this point, but it's time to stand up. And so you're going to be part of the half of the nation of Israel on Mount Gerizim. You are, and if you are online, you can be on Mount Gerizim too. And if you are over here, you're on Mount Ebal, and you're the other half of Israel. So way to go, Team Ebal there. And then the priests would read the blessings and the curses, and the people responded by saying amen. So practice that. That's good, because you're going to say it a lot in just a second. So what I want to do is kind of give you an idea of the dynamics of what were happening with these Levitical priests as they were reading out the blessings and the curses of the law, but I want to give it a New Testament flavor and understanding, okay? So when I say, for example, God promises to hear our prayers, you'll respond?
Amen.
Okay, so this is how it went. God promises to hear our prayers. God promises to preserve the church in the midst of persecution.
Amen.
God promises to reward us for being faithful.
Amen.
God promises never to withdraw his presence.
Amen.
God promises to receive and help those who come to him.
Amen.
God promises to send his son, Jesus Christ, back to earth someday.
Amen.
God promises to never leave us comfortless.
Amen.
God promises to turn our tragedies into triumphs. God promises to discipline us when it's required.
Amen.
Yeah, not as big an amen there, but that's okay. God promises never to give up on us when we make mistakes.
Amen.
God promises to give us qualities and abilities to accomplish his will.
Amen.
God promises to provide for our spiritual and physical needs.
Amen.
God promises to challenge us when we need to be challenged.
Amen.
God promises to give wisdom and guidance to those who seek it. God promises to forgive our sins when we confess them.
Amen.
And God promises someday put an end to all evil and death.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So that was a little bit. You're not up very high on the mountains, but that's kind of what was going on all day long with the priests. Yet knowing all these things that we need to be reminded of a lot, we still live below the capacity of God. That is, we live on our own power. We dismiss what God has to offer. My goodness, why does it seem we try to live every day without God's friendship? Friends, we don't really have to just get by. We can live life to the fullest in the presence of the Almighty. You know, we learn a lot about our faith by the way we pray. Consider this. How do we pray sometimes? Oh, God, if you could just come through this one time. I won't ever ask for anything again. You ever pray like that? It's as if God is on in heaven, pacing back and forth, wearing a hole in his cloud, saying, oh, I hope I can, I hope I can. Oh gosh, I don't want to let anyone down. That's nonsense. Friends, God is able. That's the truest thing I could ever say to you. God is able. It would be good if we started living our lives and thinking in our brains and feeling in our hearts that God is able and can handle anything that we experience. So the covenant renewal begins. Take a look at Deuteronomy 29, beginning in verse 10. All of you standing today in the presence of the Lord your God, right? We just did that. Your leaders, your chief men, your elders, your officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives, and the foreigners living in your camps who chop your wood and carry your water. Everybody's there. You are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you this day and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So everyone is gathered to be a part of this covenant renewal. What can we pull out of this passage? Well, one thing is this: God wants us to have a solid foundation. Have you ever noticed that human beings tend to be inconsistent? We always seem to say one thing and do the other, don't we? And it's not just the stereotypical politicians who usually take the brunt for being inconsistent. We all do it. I'll call you next week. Never call. The project is a priority. Let's get it done. We're still waiting for it to be completed. Or the delivery company that says, our records indicate you will receive your package tomorrow. And that was 2 weeks ago. Now, God wants his people to love him solely. This renewed covenant, this sacred agreement that he's making with his people will help God's people focus, give them a firm foundation to pay attention to, because we seem to be so very easily distracted by other things. And it's important for God to be clear to us. Because if God is not clear, we don't know what's expected. Do you ever have a job where your duties weren't very clearly defined in your job description, and yet the boss growled at you for not doing something you didn't know you had to do in the first place? Bob and Matthew, don't answer that. I mean, it's hard to focus on a job like that, isn't it? Well, as we unwrap the nature of this friendship between God and us a little bit more this week and next, I believe we'll be able to focus more consistently on him, have a better foundation. Now take a look at Deuteronomy 29, 14, and 15. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. So what's that mean? Well, God wants us to help others know him. See, our faith is not just for us. Take a look at verse 15 again. I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. Now, I just said to you, everyone in Israel is there hearing from God. Nobody's missing. So Moses is talking about those who have not yet come to faith, but will someday. That's what he means by those who are not here today. He literally treats this situation like the people who come to faith after this covenant day, you know, in the future, like you and me, are already present. See, friend, that's why the Church of Jesus is the only institution on the face of the earth which exists for those who haven't joined it yet. God's love is food for the hungry, water for the thirsty, oxygen for the suffocating, sight to the blind, directions for the lost, clothes for the naked, and a life for those who are dead. Why would we want to keep that to ourselves? And when we honor God's partnership, we will become increasingly mature so that we can welcome others to the faith. Keep in mind that just hours before his crucifixion, when there was a lot on his mind, just hours before his crucifixion, Jesus prays this in John 17 and 20. I'll give you the EIV translation. That's the Ed International Version. My prayer is not only for those who know me, but for those who will know me someday because of the lifestyle of those who know me already. My prayer is not only for those who know me, but for those who will know me someday because of the lifestyle of those who know me already. Take a look at some more verses in 28 and 29. Chapter 28, beginning in verse 3. This is the blessing part. You will be blessed in this city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you come out. That means you're blessed all the time. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction. I love this. They will come from you at one direction, but they will flee from you in seven. And then in chapter 29, verses 16 to 19, this is the other side of it. You yourselves know how we lived in Egypt and how we passed through the countries on the way here. You saw among them their detestable images and idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold. Make sure there is no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to go and worship the gods of those nations. Make sure there is no root among you that produces such bitter poison. When such a person hears the words of this oath and they invoke a blessing on themselves, thinking, I will be safe, even though I persist in going my way, they will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. So keep in mind that God wants to bless the body. God wants to bless the body. God really does want to bless us, but he can't if we take our focus off of God and his principles. You see, when we take our focus off of God, it's like we've got this basket here, and this basket is designed to receive the blessings that God has for us. But when we take our focus off of God, it's like dropping that basket that we had to catch all that God has for us, and then having nothing with which to receive anything from God. When our focus goes from God to something else, our ability to receive his blessings gets short-circuited and sometimes gets cut off totally. And it's because of our choice. Think about this for a moment. Do you have a hard time thinking? Do you have a hard time thinking that God can't bless you where you are in your life? That God just can't bless you? Why? Well, it's because of what you haven't accomplished, or what you haven't said, or what you haven't believed, or what you haven't fixed, or what you haven't emerged from, or what you haven't done. Consider this. In the 40 years of wandering, Moses had 2 million people following along. They were griping and bellyaching for the entire 40 years. You thought it was bad when you drove to Florida with your family that one time. Griping and bellyaching for 40 years. It's too hot in the daytime. It's too cold at night. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? Look at these blisters on my feet. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt where the Pharaoh didn't give us the right supplies to make bricks for his monuments, and then he beat us for not making the bricks. Oh, those were the good old days. Yet even through the whining, God provided for them every day. He sent manna from heaven so his people could eat each day. It fell overnight, and you took just what you needed for the day. And 2 million were fed. How many did you have to dinner last week for that one day? Someone did a study a while back. Enough manna for 2 million people is approximately 4,500 tons of manna daily to feed wandering Israel. That's 10 trains each with 30 cars each just to feed his people every day. Now, if God can do that, for as long as he did that, for as many people as he did that to, even though their attitude couldn't be considered the best, like downright awful, if God could do that for them, then God will take care of you as well when you're having your low moments. A little boy knelt by his bed to pray his prayers one night, and he prayed this. He said, "Dear God, please take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're all sunk." Folks, in this fall season, take some time and let God become your best friend. Take some time to renew your covenant, right? Your sacred agreement with him. Add a little certainty to your life. Reestablish that sacred partnership, for he is our God and we are his people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this chance to be together and celebrate your reality. To celebrate that even though we are not at our best, you still love us. that in our heart of hearts, there are many things in our covenant with you, that sacred agreement that we have in you that we made when we decided to follow, that have to be renewed. It may not have been 40 years, but Lord, there's some stuff we've forgotten. So just as the people of God were on those two mountains responding amen to the blessings and the curses, we pray today, Lord, that we would say amen to you over and over and over again. Shine some light in those areas that we need to be reminded of. Encourage us in those areas where we're doing well. And remind us, Lord, that the world will only change when you first change the lives of the people who call themselves Christians. Show us what that looks like. Bring us to that place. Start us on that process. And Lord, we believe you'll handle everything else. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name forever. Amen. Let's stand and worship God.